Amen. Thank you, Mark. Carnegie Hall, eh? Isn't that fantastic? I am so excited about that. Humberto, I don't know if you're listening, but if you're online, I want to say thank you for opening this door and giving us this opportunity. I want to ask this question. Dennis, you're going?
No.
You're not going?
Just behind the scenes.
Oy la la, you're sending your wife to New York? Okay, I'm not going to touch that. And is Humberto going?
He is, with a different choir.
Good. Excellent. Excellent. I'm really glad that Humberto is going, and he deserves it. So really glad that they're all going to New York. What a fantastic opportunity. It's not just athletic teams that travel. Our music teams travel, and our intercultural studies people travel, and we do this globe trek thing. Okay, let's go to work. See if this thing's working. Yep. So we transitioned from a series last semester about Jesus in the book of Hebrews to thinking about some of the stories that Jesus actually told. And of course, we know that storytelling is a fantastic way of communicating. It's a fantastic way of making points with people and connecting on real sort of tangible ideas. And I'm going to be talking about the first one. We've already actually read the text. So we're looking at a whole series of parables. Now the parable today is the one that we read about already, and it's about the builders on the foundation. But imagine through this whole series, you're going to hear stories about the sower and the seed, new cloth and new wine. I'm surprised that James Enns didn't grab that one. I was quite sure he would want to deal with that one. But, Kevin Peters managed to bump in front of him on that one. Kevin, and then the kingdom of heaven is like, and that's Megan bringing that one. The heart of man with Gary Schmidt. The precious, the sheep and the coin. The prodigal son and the loving father is James Enns, Mike Schmidt. And the amount of forgiveness that we're invited to bring into our relationships, that's going to be Glenn Lone. You can see we've got our own people populating this majority of this series. And then we've got the neighbor, the good neighbor, Jared Andreas, the talents, the faithful service. That's my good friend, our good friend, Dan Cochran from Crossroads. And The Faithful by our own Jim Newman again. The Greatest and the Least by Phil Calloway. And then Mark Jonah will be bringing it home at the end of the semester with the Great Feast, the Marriage Feast, which I think is a great way to finish this series. So we're looking at the stories that Jesus told to illustrate his points. Our text again, I'm going to read it, even though I know we've already read it. I titled this one, Our Foundation, Firm and Forever. Because I think that's one of the main points of this. But we're going to also look at, what is this house that we're building and what are the winds and storms that might come at us. So that'll be kind of the way we're going forward. So Matthew 7. Now, so we're at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has just finished his little homily, or his great homily, if you will, on the side of the mountain. I've been to two places where one was sort of how it might have looked like, but it wasn't the right place. And then the place where it actually probably happened, and it doesn't look at all like it would have way back then, because it wouldn't be a meadow anymore. It's got temples and sanctuaries all around the place. But here we are. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, other places say the floods rose. The winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." And I used the different version there. I think it's a different NIV, an older NIV maybe. But anyway, the floods came. I like the word floods a little better because it speaks to the devastation that would come with this threat. So here we are. We have the foundation that we're going to be looking at. We have the storm that comes, and we have the house that we're building. So as good Canadians, most of us like to get away to the beach, yeah? And we did this, let's see, does that work? Yep. Elaine and I have gone for the last several years down to a place in Costa Rica. We love that place. It's warm. It looks out over the Pacific Ocean. Sunsets beautifully. That is the reason, but that's kind of a detour away because it's not related to this message. But the beach is beautiful there. And as we walked along this beach, we noticed that it seems the high tide is a little bit higher now. And this is a restaurant that used to have a patio over the beach. They had a circle of rocks and sand in there, and we had actually been at tables on that beach, and it had completely wiped out their patio. And right between here and the restaurant, you can see little lights twinkling back in the back. That is the restaurant still. But there's a road in between, and we actually wondered if that road is going to be in jeopardy as maybe the oceans are rising and there's a little bit more creep in there, or as beaches do migrate at different times. This is an illustration, you might say, of building on sand. Not the greatest idea. Further down the beach, there are a couple of houses that are perched on rock. And you can see that, you know, they are able to enjoy the storms that come. They're able to enjoy the power of the ocean. And in many ways, they can laugh at it. This one out here on the promontory, out on the end, is like a fantastic house. I've never been in it, but a fantastic location. I can imagine a lighthouse being out there as well. And you can imagine, a lighthouse would not serve its purpose well for long if it had been planted on the beach. It needs to be on a rock. Now, we've got this building over here, great big building. It needs also a good foundation. The difference between these two foundations on the rock that we can see and the other is this one, the foundation for this building is underground. You can't even see it, and it's really important that they get that thing right, right? Can you imagine if you had a building, especially a large one like this, where part of it is well-founded and not the rest? The building would tilt and the building would crack. In fact, Elaine and I did a few trips down to Belize. Now, Belize City is on the ocean and is basically a city on quicksand. And we have driven on the road there, and I probably had pictures, but I didn't pull them out, of houses that had been sinking into the sand. In fact, there were some that were on a tilt, and I was imagining inside they would cut off, they would trim the tables of the legs so that the table would top would be flat, even though the floor wasn't. Now, there are benefits to that in cleaning, because you can just shove everything into the far corner. But mostly it's not good, especially on the ground floor where the door was easily 3 inches, maybe a full foot, buried into this sand as the whole house sank. It was a two-story, so they were able to go up to the second story, climbing through windows. Ayala! Foundations matter. What's this building look like underneath? Well, it's got these pilings, or, you know, Andrew, I should get the right wording from you before I get up here. But these screws are drilled down into the ground until they find firm footing. And here's a picture of the foundation of that building with those long pipes drilled down until they found a firm footing. And that gives the whole building its stability so that it will last more than 10 years. So the question for us today is, how is our foundation? How is your foundation, right? And you might think, well, I'm doing okay. I've got enough money to pay for the first month of school, or I've got, you know, clothes that I need. The buildings are warm. My foundation is good, right? That's the question also for today. What is our foundation? What gives us security? Is it friendships? Yeah. Family? Yeah. Social status? Yeah. Health, money, possessions, you know, having the phone that you need to be able to communicate. What gives us value? Influence and power. What is our identity? Career, position. All of those are kind of true, but they are not our foundation. They are the building that we put on our foundation. I was going to put church in here because I didn't want to sort of confuse this too much, and I'm afraid someone who didn't listen to the message might see it and be afraid that I was discounting the value of church. But we will be building churches in our lives. Is that our foundation? That's an interesting question. And we're going to come to that answer in a little bit. But the answer I'll suggest to you is not necessarily. All of these are good things, but they're not the foundation. So let's go back to the text. Everyone who then hears these words of mine and does them. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them. So it's the words of Jesus that emanate from the whole teaching of Scripture that are the foundation. This is the gift that has been given to us from our Father, our Heavenly Father, our loving Father. They reflect the love of the Father and His will here on earth for us. Okay, that is why we spend so much time diving into, unpacking, and learning about the Bible. As you wander through your career and make changes and move from one place to another, what will go with you without change is this word. And it will enlighten you, it will empower you, it will invigorate you, and it will give life to the people around you, even if you're not quoting it directly. If it speaks into your life and impacts your action, it will add life to theirs. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Okay, so at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, remember, there's a whole lot that Jesus has just finished saying. The Beatitudes, be salt and light. Even that was part of Mark's prayer this morning. Help us to be salt and light as we go to New York. Turn the other cheek, things that we hear all the time. Go the second mile. This is all in that previous two chapters. The Lord's Prayer, praying for the will of the Father. Laying up treasures in heaven where they will not wash away in the quicksands of life. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. You know, you guys know this stuff. I'm telling you what you already knew. Judge not that ye be not judged. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Fantastic phrases. Mind-blowing, world-rocking sentences. I could put an exclamation point at the end of each of these and then lose the value of the exclamation point. So I didn't. But do unto others as you would have them do it. Narrow is the gate that leads to life. Narrow. And few are they that find it. It is God's will that everyone will find it. And we are part of that story of drawing people, opening the gate so that they can find the love of the Father through Jesus. On and on it goes. I never knew you. Trees, by their fruit, you will know them. Fantastic bedrock truths. It's on the back of these teachings that Jesus said, whoever keeps these words, hears these words and does them. Whoever does it, hears these words and does them. Whoever hears these words and does them. Okay. But is that the end of it? Probably not, right? It probably would not be a disservice to this text to say it probably applies to all of what Jesus said. In fact, later in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." This is the foundation. Totally consistent with the rest of the teaching of Scripture. But somehow these are the captured words that sort of summarize the whole teaching of Scripture. I put down there that the author who said this is Jesus, according to Peter, the cornerstone, the precious cornerstone, which is part of the foundation that Peter was describing on the building that the church is becoming. So we look at it. The way I'd like to picture it for us this morning is all of those things that we talked about that might be our foundation are in fact the building that we're putting together. And we don't want to dismiss all of the good things that God gives us in our career. We just want to recognize they're not the foundation, right? We want to know that our foundation is in the love of the Father who gave us creation. And when creation broke down, he gave us his Son, Jesus, who came, lived, died, rose again, is coming again. All parts of this one foundation. Who then gave us the church. The church is part of the building. He gave us our lives and he gave us our talents. And as we think about all these different things, our homes, our families, our churches, our friendships, our social circles, the talents that God has given to us, the abilities, the careers that he gives us, and the seniority that we get as we rise through our careers, the wealth and money that comes to us, the possessions that are added, the influence and power that comes with, these are all parts of the talents that God gives to us. And how we steward all of those good things on our firm foundation is the test of whether or not we're being good stewards of the life he's given us. These are good things. I do not want in any way to discount all of the things that are listed on that slide. I just want to say, but these are the building that we are looking after. And if the winds come and challenge our building, it's not challenging our foundation. I began to think about, you know, well, I read a few different, you know, sort of sources on this, commentaries and things. And there was one, a lady who sort of speculated that perhaps the rain that's in the text is referring to the drizzle and rain that might take away our joy and the weariness of life and the constant work that we have to do. So she referred to the rain as sort of the drizzle that constantly is in our faces, or even the heavy storms that we have to work in. It wears us down. I didn't mind that. I thought that was okay. I'm not sure that's what Jesus was thinking about, but it's not a bad way of looking at it. On the other hand, my good friend Ken Shigematsu from Vancouver, he loves rain. Well, it's a good thing because he lives in Vancouver. But he actually, you know, that's his white noise at night when he's traveling. He turns on his phone to play the sound of rain. So some people find life in it, and that's all good. And then there are the floods, the things that threaten our lives, the things that devastate our buildings, the things that undermine our security. These are things that are hard. It might be losing someone in our family. It might be a friendship that breaks up. It might be a catastrophic economic event. Elaine and I went through 2008 where the market crashed, and that was really hard for me. And I'm sure that part of it was moving that wealth foundation up into the building that God needed to do, right? But it was very hard for me. I felt like curling up and you know, just rolling over and quitting. But these are the storms that come our way and they threaten our building. But it doesn't threaten our foundation in any way. And then there's the winds. And this same lady, the author that I was reading, she compared the wind to words that we might see here, whether it's social media or in our circles, that quench our spirit. And I think that's not a bad way to look at wind. Will the things that people say to us or about us, whether directly or behind our backs, will that undermine our well-being? Will that undermine our foundation? The answer is no. No. There have been one or two times when, you know, we're losing a key player on our team, and I'll be talking with Elaine about it, and I'm like, ah, man, I don't want to, you know, I'm trying to figure out how we're going to replace that important person, because the thing about our team is it is a whole team of specialists, each excellent in their field, each complementing the rest. And when you lose one of your key players, whatever they are, across this whole continuum, you've got to figure out how to replace that person with another who is just as talented or more. And I'm looking at it and talking with Elaine about it, and she goes, well, Mark, where's your faith? Her foundation is a lot better than mine, and her screw pilings go a lot deeper, I think. But this is also true. It doesn't need to threaten. Does this, someone's leaving our team, does that mean that we are going to lose our way? No, maybe there's an opportunity in it, right? Oops, I did two there. Didn't mean to do that. Not sure where I am right now. Yeah. Oh yeah, there it is, that final thing. Rooted in the, what can be seen? What's interesting about all of this, I'm having trouble here, Andrew. Let me just go back one. I want to go back to find that one. There we go. Now I know where we are. What's interesting about this is the building, the thing that we can see, it's really well illustrated by our new residents. The thing that we can see is an illustration of the talents that God has given to us, which are referred to again in Matthew, but chapter 25, and it's the story of the talents. The bags of gold is one of the versions. God, the master gives bags of gold, 5 bags, 2 bags, and 1 bag, and goes away. The difference here is, in reality, our master never goes away. Only physically did Jesus ascend, and then he sent his Holy Spirit. So he is here with us in his Holy Spirit. As we have these talents that God gives to us, how are we stewarding them? How are we dealing with the building that we're building? Are we building it well? Good. Will it be threatened? Depends on the foundation. The thing I like about this building over here is the foundation is often not seen, but it is so important, and I've already described how it's rooted. Our foundation is rooted in the love of the Father, who gave us creation, who gave us his Son, who then gave us the scriptures, who then builds the church on that. And this is the building that the world sees. We need to make sure that our foundation reflects the love and, I would say, also the holiness of the Father. Let the King of Heaven, let's decide today that he will reign. He is our firm foundation. Our access to him is only through Jesus. Let's decide today to embrace the teachings of Jesus and the living word, who is the living word of God. One way to do that is to be constantly in this word. Let's decide today to stay in this word, in our careers, in our lives as we go out from here, for the next 30, 40, 50 years. And the value of that simple word of God will stay alive in your heart and in your mind, and it will grow. And it will change as you understand more and more over your life. But it will also lead you directly through to Jesus. And, whoops, I did two there. Oh, no. And to exchange what we can see but can't keep, right, for true life and infinite value. This is our foundation. It is firm. It is forever. And it is worth it. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the privilege of pausing in the week to gather together, the privilege of turning to your word, the privilege of asking for your help, the privilege of doing work that you want us to do. You have given us so much, and we are so grateful. So we come to say thank you. We come to ask that you would dwell here with us this semester and this year. Help us to lean into your foundation and build buildings that glorify you and encourage one another. This year, as we walk forward, we pray that you would help us to honor you. And so for that reason, we ask that you would bless us. Bless us with your Spirit, with your presence, with your provisions, with your plans, so that we can be a blessing to others. Allow us that great privilege, we pray this year. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, the one you love, the one who you call Son, and the one whom we call Lord. Amen. Have a great day.